What are we listening to here, Georg?
This is an introduction to Mad Lady Macbeth by Hans Werner Henze.
And what piece is this?
It's a piece taken from his Royal Winter Music for solo guitar from 1979, the last movement.
Can you tell us a bit about it?
It's inspired by Shakespeare's play Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, or Mad Lady Macbeth, as Henze calls the piece.
Excuse me. I'm interrupting a bit here. What do we mean by mad? It feels very dated to label a woman as mad, like some sort of hysteric.
Well, it's not us calling her mad. It's the title Henze has given.
And it's also not certain that Hans is looking at her from the outside and say, "Look how mad she is." It could just as well be that he identifies with her. The madness could be about a boundlessness that he recognizes in himself.
That could be. What Henze writes in his introduction to the piece is this. She moves through the bleak hall of her cold black palace. The thunderstorm is raging outside. The wind is howling. She's totally mad. My role is to understand Lady Macbeth in such a way that it contributes to my musical interpretation. That's why I find it so interesting to talk to you and hear how you think from your perspectives.
One thing I think about when it comes to Lady Macbeth is agency. In Shakespeare's play, she's portrayed as a driven person who acts. She takes initiative, thereby changing the course of life. We could try to see her as entrepreneurial.
I don't know. Entrepreneurial qualities are often seen as positive, but Lady Macbeth orchestrates murder.
Henze really shows Lady Macbeth's multifaced personality. There is also the light and lovable side. She has those sides too. I think it's more about a complicated personality. One moment she's plotting murder, the next she says she doesn't need to give a speech to the guests of whom one is to be murdered. For my heart speaks, they are welcome. I actually think everything is included in this piece.
Yeah, she is complex. There is no contradiction there. But if you look etymologically at the word entrepreneurship, it comes from the French entrer, to step in, and prendre, to seize. That is, to step in and seize situations.
Yes, you can certainly say she's doing that.
Lady Macbeth takes agency in her way of scheming, and she shows a great need for achievement. Something considered characteristic of entrepreneurs. The motives for entrepreneurship don't always have to be economic or about business. There can be other things to strive for, like power or social success, or simply that life should take a different direction. Innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for, and you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
It's a valuable trait to be able to change your life's direction. Staying in a situation where you are unhappy and not thriving is very self-destructive. To like in Lady Macbeth, want to influence your social situation shows drive and initiative. But the way she does it, getting others to commit murder, for me, it's about something else.
What I mean is that she believes in her own ability, that she is able to influence the course of events. A prominent personality trait of entrepreneurs is strong internal locus of control. At the same time, entrepreneurs seek exciting challenges in their careers and strive for self-realization, just like Lady Macbeth.
But isn't she simply narcissistic?
Well, yeah, she probably is. And I know that entrepreneurship has been compared to narcissism in that striving for self-realization, the pursuit of social status and fame.
Yes, and a big focus on the surface. Under the surface, there is something else. Under the surface, there is shame, guilt, and self-hatred. The narcissistic self is a self in two parts. I think about this with mad Lady Macbeth. When grandiosity collapses, it can in some cases lead to psychosis. In that sense, she can be said to be mad. This thing about her sleepwalking, it's also like one part of her doesn't know what the other is doing.
Yeah, there is one place in the piece that I associate with the sleepwalking, a chord with a transparent sound repeated in a slow tempo. But at the same time, she's doing a lot of things. This is also portrayed musically. She's both passive and active at the same time.
Out, damn spot! Out, I say! What will these hands never be clean? Here's the smell of the blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. Oh, oh, oh!
I'm thinking about her getting others to commit murder. Entrepreneurship is often linked to positive social development. Having entrepreneurial qualities is, as you mentioned, usually considered attractive. But according to research, entrepreneurship can also be destructive. For example, crime is a kind of destructive entrepreneurship. It is agency, but also socially deviant. The result of destructive entrepreneurship is destroyed values and negative social effects.
Yes, we can see that in Lady Macbeth. People die, someone who is innocent is blamed, children become fatherless, chaos breaks out. Soon her own children are also orphaned. That's where the split self comes in. Her conscious self doesn't want to acknowledge any guilt, But when she sleepwalks, she is tormented by guilt, does everything to wash the blood from her hands, which never goes away. It's a kind of double bookkeeping.
Exactly. Instead of thinking she's mad, can't we see her as a destructive entrepreneur? She sees herself as superior and has a high ambition for herself and her family. The Macbeth family makes a career in the military. Military activity was immensely profitable in the 17th century England and discussed as destructive entrepreneurship. But as far as I know, the influence or agency of military wives has never before been discussed as part of this entrepreneurship.
So strange. Why has no one looked at that? Lady Macbeth is a very obvious example of a military wife exercising power. When the witches present their prophecy to Macbeth, he writes home to her and tells her almost like a happy child, but he has no idea what to do what he has heard. It's Lady Macbeth who takes all the initiative. In that way, she can be seen as entrepreneurial, yes, as destructively entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurship has long been researched with a focus on heroism and success. The narrative has revolved around the lone man building an empire with two empty hands. In contemporary research, however, a broader picture of entrepreneurship is discussed, one that captures agency and organization in very different contexts. Women in traditional female roles can also be understood as entrepreneurial. But as you say, in Lady Macbeth, there also seem to be narcissistic traits.
Until recently, narcissistic personality disorder has also been seen as something that primarily affects men. In recent years, though, it has been realized that it may be almost as common in women. It just manifests a little differently. For men, the central thing is to have a position of power themselves. For women, it's more important to show off a perfect family, a powerful husband, successful children. Lady Macbeth holds a banquet and dances a gavotte, shows off her family success, her husband who is on his way to kingship. But behind the grandiose is the other, a shame-filled self marked by setbacks and humiliations, a fragile and unhappy girl far from the ideal. That girl must be covered up. The grandiose lady must cover her with her large skirt. No one must ever see her. She must be kept hidden at all costs.
You mean the lady who dances can exist, not the sad girl?
She has never been allowed to exist. That is the narcissist's hard work, to hide the pathetic, the crying one who needs care and comfort, who needs to be appreciated without reciprocation.
Yes, and I think that fragility comes through here. The seventh time the theme appears, we can hear it as if Lady Macbeth is crying silently. Henson notes that the theme should be performed with three piece, piano pianissimo, with the word weeping above the music. For me, this is a psychological climax of the piece.
Lady Macbeth's actions are an example of when narcissistic traits drive entrepreneurial spirit in a destructive direction. Contemporary research talks about the damaging side of the narcissistic entrepreneur, the unhealthy pursuit of high goals and excessive risk-taking.
I agree. Lady Macbeth can definitely be seen as a destructive entrepreneur. It's part of her complex personality, part of the narcissism, part of what Henze calls madness. In the final act, she takes her own life. Narcissism increases the risk of suicide. The ideals are so high. When they cannot be achieved, the shame becomes enormous. Death is, on the one hand, a way to resign before being deposed. On the other hand, it's a way to end a terrible suffering.
To bed, to bed. There's knocking at the gate. Come, 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 give me your hand. What's done cannot be undone.
What remains for the destructive entrepreneur, Lady Macbeth, is to take control over her own death.